Welcome back to Victory Laps, part of the Throwback Thursday celebrations for the 50th anniversary of Riverside International Speedway. Dazzling Dylan Lanchel here, back with you again, and thank you for pressing play at riversidespeedway.ca or listening on iTunes. The dazzling part of my name, it's all done for 2019. In the blink of an eye, the 2019 racing season, it's all done at Riverside. We wrapped up after a delay courtesy of Hurricane Dorian. Mother Nature doesn't like racing. We were supposed to race on the 7th of September. It was pushed back 1 week later. The Lucas Oil 150 saw Cole Butcher go to victory lane for the second time at Riverside in 2019, and the night ended with fireworks. As soon as Cole collected his checkered flag, the sky was lit up by fireworks. What a way to wrap up the year. If you want to catch that again, you can watch the fireworks online at riversidespeedway.ca or the Riverside Speedway YouTube account. We saw a tight points battle get even tighter in the Pro Stock Tour between Dylan Blankhorn and Jonathan Hicken. Congratulations to the 2019 champion, Dylan Blankhorn. And speaking of champions, Matt Vaughn was crowned champion in the Napa Sportsman Series. Brad Eddy won the Henry's Auto Pro 75. And Dave Matthews won the East Coast Mini Stock Tour Championship in their finale, which saw Andrew Warren sweep both races at Riverside this year. On today's show, we've got some heavy hitters. Both of my guests are part of the Maritime and Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame. Coming up a little later, I had the chance to chat with Canada's greatest short track racer, Junior Hanley. He'll be sharing some memories of his early career and his ACT domination at Riverside in the 90s. You don't want to miss that. But first, I caught up with another driver who has won two 250 races and is a five-time NASCAR champion. My first guest on this episode of Victory Laps is Greg Seward. He's a member of both the Maritime and Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame. His win count is in the triple digits, and a few of them came at Riverside. My pleasure chatting with Greg Seward. Greg, how are you?
Very good, thanks. Pleasure to talk to you.
Of course, and racing's all done for 2019 at Riverside. Did you make it out to a bunch of races?
Yeah, we usually make it down for all the races in Antigonish. It's a great time to go down and, camp in the parking lot and with a bunch of good friends and chat about the old times.
Which race was your favorite this year?
The 250 was a good race. Yeah, they were all pretty good, I guess. Lots of good finishes in the 150s.
And you're a two-time 250 champion. You are a five-time champion in NASCAR, and you are considered the most consistent driver by Frank Fraser. That's got to be quite special to hear that from him.
Yeah, it sure is. Frank is a good competitor over the years, and it was always fun to race with Frank. We always had some good races.
Let's dive right to the beginning, Greg. What got your interest in racing? Was it when you were younger? I know your brother Jim raced as well. Where was the beginning of that?
He started back in, it's going back quite a ways. In 73, bought an old 57 Chev. They called the orange crate. It was painted orange and, muffed it together and went out and did their best and, got their feet wet. And then they had that for a year, and then they bought the 67 Chevelle that we just restored here back a few years ago.
Yeah, it looks beautiful, by the way.
Yeah, it turned out really well. Really pleased.
So did you go to any other tracks before your brother raced? Did you experience maybe Riverside when it was first opening?
Oh, yes. Before we ever started racing, Jimmy and I, he hauled me here, there, and everywhere to Lawrencetown, Riverside, New Brunswick, Moncton, Riverglade. We went all over the place.
So how about your first time at Riverside, or was there grumblings at the other tracks about this behemoth opening up in James River?
Not that I know of. When I first raced, you mean?
As a fan.
As a fan, I was... too young to hear any of that. We're just excited to go to the races. Awesome track to watch a race on, and couldn't wait to get on it to go racing.
So when was your first time getting behind the steering wheel?
In 75.
Which track would that would have been at?
It would have been at Atlantic Speedway.
Down in Hammond's Plains?
Yes.
And is it true that you won one of your first races racing there?
Won the very first three races I raced in, yep.
First go at it.
Yeah, the two heat races in the feature, yep.
What kind of car were you driving back then?
That 67 Chevelle.
Wow, and you still got it today.
Yeah, it's pretty ironic that we, that was located, and it's back to pretty much 80-85% original car, when we raced it back then, so it's pretty neat to see.
And what it is now after the restoration, that's what it looked like for you back in the day?
Yes, it did. That was the second year I had it, yeah.
And you crewed with your brother as well, too.
Yeah, that's when I when he started, I helped out with the old cars, and then he sold that one to me and bought another one, and away we went.
So did it come natural to you with the racing? It kind of sounds like it was a natural talent if you're winning off the bat.
Yeah, I guess it kind of came natural, yes.
Where were some of your favorite tracks racing early on in your career?
Atlantic Speedway was a pretty cool racetrack. It was a half mile, so, you know, it had long, wide straightaways, and then Riverside, of course. We raced at Riverside with that car.
With Atlantic, was it high banked with the long straightaways?
Fairly steep, yeah. Yeah, it was a nice racetrack, nice facility, and it was like 20 minutes from home, so it was pretty nice to be that close to home to go race.
What was the competition like? What division did you start in, and what was the competition like at any of the tracks in the Maritimes?
Yeah, it was pretty tough competition. You know, you raced like guys like Ron Heffler and John Howard, just to name a few, and Sportsman is what we started in. And there was quite a few cars and good drivers.
And you kind of branched out to the Northeast United States and a little bit in Ontario as well.
Yeah, we made a couple of trips down in the States, I'm sorry, and up in Ontario. We had we went up for 2 weekends and raced four racetracks, I guess.
And with Riverside, how much did you have to change your driving style compared to maybe a Lucasville or the Halifax Dartmouth International racetrack?
Different racetracks, you have to have different styles and different racetracks. You know, some are longer than others, some are steeper banked than others. So, you know, you just you adapt to each racetrack.
Was it tough to set up the cars for Riverside?
Back then, there wasn't a whole lot of technology as far as setting race cars
just
up. I mean, you did your tires and... what we did was measure the height, the frame off of the ground, made one side higher than the others, and pretty much went at it.
to just kind of going right to it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Did that change a little bit when NASCAR came to be?
Yes, no question.
You were one of the first drivers, one of the first champions in NASCAR. Were you also part of the origins, like helping out, kind of getting the band together? I know Jim Hallahan had a huge hand in that.
Yeah, we all went up and met in Ernie McLean's barn in Riverglade Speedway, and that's where it started.
How many drivers were in that first season?
That's a good question.
Roughly.
I guess probably around 15.
And what tracks did NASCAR start at? I know Riverside was involved in it.
Yeah, Riverglade and Riverside. We went to up in New Brunswick, Douglastown was there. All I can remember right off the top of my head was when we started. I think it was probably those main three.
And the 250 at Riverside was included too?
I believe they had 250s, but I'm not sure when that started. I think it was, well, I guess 50 years ago, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
1977 was the first one.
When NASCAR started, the 250 was, yeah, there, yeah. Started out, I believe, at 75s and then jumped to 100, our features. And then they had the special races. I think the 250 was one. Riverglade was a 150, I believe, the international. Twin 75s, I guess it was.
How grueling was that as a driver to go from, you know, like a 150-lap race, adding on that extra 100, especially on a track like Riverside?
Depending on, I guess, the temperature of the day and how hot it was, you know, of course. And sometimes when you have a real good race car, you don't think about anything other than, you know, racing.
And your first championship came in 1983 in NASCAR, and you won four more. And was it just being consistent, or were you going out there winning a lot of races, or just staying up front a lot?
You had to be consistent, of course. You know, you have to finish to finish on top of the points. We won a lot of features over the years, and you know, if we didn't finish, I'd try to finish in the top five.
You won the 1986 250 at Riverside. Do you have any memories of that race?
I got a good memory, but it's awful short. There are some races I could tell you, you know, what happened in them, and then there's others that I just, you know, just gone by the wayside.
Are there any notable races that at Riverside for you?
The one, I believe it was the 250 when we, I'm not sure, I think it was the 250, but we blew a motor early in the race, and we parked the car, and about 15, 20 minutes later, we decided to pull it back out and change the motor. And we got back out in the race, and we ended up gaining two or three spots by doing that. And we ended up winning the points championship that year by, you know, a couple of 3 points. And that was the reason why.
Wow, so if you would have just said, you know what, let's go home, pack it in, you wouldn't have been a champion.
Exactly.
How long did that take to completely change an engine out?
We were probably 45 minutes or so, maybe an hour.
And the pressure would be on as the laps are winding down, depending if there's cautions.
There was quite a few cautions, yeah, at the time, so, you know, we gained time there.
Because you're saving grace.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
So, with your other 250 win, that came in the 90s, in 1993. That was after ACT was there. Did you participate in any of the ACT races at Riverside, or did MASCAR kind of steer clear of that?
I believe we participated in a few of those races. Never had much luck. Always ended up with a flat tire or something like that when those cars were down or those people were down racing. The odd time, most of the time when they came, they made you change your car around and add a bunch of weight because they didn't like our body styles and what we ran for engines and that kind of stuff. So they would slap a bunch of weight onto us and, you know, make us run slower, I guess.
It was quite a difference from the MASCAR and ACT.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they would always come down and then they would make you put a bunch of weight in the car.
The driver who dominated the early part of the 90s in those ACT races, and he's on this episode with you, Junior Hanley, you know, he owned Riverside in the early 90s. You had a couple chances to race against him, not only at Riverside, I assume, but also at Riverglade.
Yes, we did. Yeah, we raced against them. Can't really remember running close or you know, with Junior. I mean, he was always a tough competitor and always the guy to beat when you showed up at the racetrack, and so it was always fun, I mean, trying to beat him. I don't know that I ever did, to tell you the truth.
But he was like the superstar almost.
Yeah, no question.
With your racing career and how long it lasted, who were some of your toughest competitors within the 70s, 80s, and the 90s? Because we've had drivers that stuck around the entire time, like Frank Fraser and Rolly McDonald, and then some that really came through in the 90s, like Scott Fraser.
Yeah, definitely Frank and, you know, Terry Clattenburg, Rolly, you know, Bob Ewell, they were all good runners. Mike McKenzie, all good runners and, you know, great to race with. I mean, you know, you could race side by side with all those guys and, you know, not have any trouble.
Who would you say is your biggest rival?
Over the years, it probably would have been Terry Clattenburg.
Junior Hanley almost said the same thing.
Is that right?
Yeah.
We used to sit in the grandstands and watch those two go at it.
Was Terry a hard-nosed driver?
Yeah, no question, yeah.
Like, no forgiveness?
Terry never liked getting beat.
Beat, and then if you went around him, if you shut him out of the way, he'd probably come back and get back at you?
Oh, no, you wouldn't shove him out of the way, no, because you know you'd only get it back.
Who would you consider the driver who owned Riverside throughout your years of racing?
Throughout our years of racing? I think everybody had a crack at winning races at Riverside because everybody loved going there and racing. It was the, you know, the premier racetrack in here.
And how about racing with Scott Fraser when he won 5 in a row? It must have been almost going in like, okay, is he going to be at the top again here?
Yeah, there's no question. Scott was a great competitor, a great race car driver. So sad that we lost him because I think he'd be doing some great things right now. Yeah, and he was tough to beat.
Did you get many wins at Riverside aside from the two 250 wins?
Yeah, oh yeah, it's quite a bit. I couldn't tell you the numbers, but we always loved going to Riverside, and you know, being the top runner there, it was our goal.
Your career came to a close in 2002, correct?
Yes, it did.
And that was after a pretty nasty wreck.
Yeah, out at Scotia, I went up off of turn between turn one and two, I guess, went up in the air and landed down on all four wheels off the racetrack and broke my back.
So there was never you get some people that'll take a couple of years off and then come back after that. That was it?
That was kind of it. You know, you feel lucky after an accident like that you can still walk and I could still go back to work. And it was only a hobby. I wasn't doing it for a living. So figured that would be a good way to finish, I guess. Not the way I wanted to leave the racing, but, you know, when you get injured, you think about it.
Say the wreck doesn't happen, how many more years would you have gone at it?
I'm not sure. That wasn't our car that we raced. We had sold everything the year before, or earlier that year, I believe. We sold everything, and that was a Bob Riley car. And, you know, I think we were getting some pretty good racing opportunities with Bob. We would have had a few more, I would think.
Another thing I want to bring up, I know it's not Riverside, but Jim Hallahan brought this up because he was almost the guy who orchestrated everything. You won the road course races in Halifax, on the streets of Halifax. Not many people can say that. And there's YouTube footage of the racing and just how you're going past the Centennial Pool. It's you couldn't pull it off in 2019 anymore.
No, No, that's for sure. No, I loved racing through the streets of Halifax. That was pretty cool. And you go down across by the police station doing, you know, 80, 90 miles an hour, you know, and flying up the streets, up around the commons. It was pretty cool deal.
There'd be a few more roundabouts on the course this time.
Yeah, for sure.
So, did you stay involved in the Pro Stock Tour after you retired, or did you just kind of step away and sit in the stands as a fan?
Just sit in the stands as a fan, yeah. That's all we've been doing since then.
And I'm assuming you made it out to Riverside throughout the years. What did you think of the renovations after John Chisholm got the track back?
It's just a fantastic job. It really needed it. I mean, it was run down quite a bit. But right now, it's a beautiful facility, and I'm glad that John took it back and did what he did.
Did you ever get the chance to race against John?
No, I have not. No, we sitting in the grandstands, watched him race, you know, with Junior and Rolly and all those guys.
Who were some of your heroes in the Maritimes racing?
Oh, Junior was the big one, of course, and Rolly was a good race car driver. So there was a few.
And you were a good brother, I assume, in cheering for your brother.
No question. Yeah.
How long did Jim's career last?
Let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
Once we went up in classes, we got faster and faster, and I guess he just didn't like the speed. So especially on the Atlantic Speedway, the half mile, because you get going pretty fast in a half mile racetrack.
He ended up being your crew chief.
Yeah, then we got together and bought one car, and he was pretty much the crew chief for the whole career.
For 2019, you've been at the track with your 67 Chevelle with Heart of a Champion, but you got back on the track at Scotia SpeedWorld in the 134 Ford Pinto modified car. What a thrill that must have been.
Yes, it was, exactly. It was nice to get back. That was the first time I've been in a race car since my accident over 17 years ago, so it was a little challenging to get the feel of it. I mean, not that we ran real fast, but I would like to have had a little more time in it.
How cool is it to see a Hot Rod Series launching here in Nova Scotia and the Maritimes?
I think it's going to be fantastic, you know, to bring back the older cars, the vintage cars, people, the older race fans. That's what, you know, myself and other people that went to the races early in their life watched these old cars race, you know, and so I think it would be a pretty good deal.
Is that 67 Chevelle going to be involved?
No, it would take quite a bit of work to get that to go around the racetrack.
It's just looking pretty.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, Greg, over the years, your career lasting about 25-plus years, what is your favorite memory racing at Riverside or even there as a fan?
Well, definitely winning the 250s. One that I can barely remember, and the other one I can't. So, but that race that I told you about, the 250 that we changed the engine, I guess, was a pretty special night.
And what would you like to say to any fans listening that supported Greg Stewart throughout the years?
I appreciated every moment, and it was great to meet a bunch of fans over the years, and made some good friends as well over the years from racing. So, you know, if it wasn't for the fans, there wouldn't been any racing. So, for them, it was good for them to keep showing up at the racetracks.
Well, Greg, I appreciate you taking the time to chat about your career, not only just at Riverside, but also on the streets of Halifax and everywhere. And we hope to see you at the track in 2020.
We'll definitely be still around.
If I was to read every single win and championship this driver attained, I'd be reading this till 2021. It's my pleasure chatting with the legendary Junior Hanley. Junior, how are you?
I'm fine.
How is 2019 treating you?
Looks good. Everything's good.
Still doing lots of car building and getting to the racetrack?
I've been doing some of the cars, but I just pretty well go every weekend to help somebody. But I do a couple cars a year. That's about it.
Has it been a busy race scene in Ontario this summer?
Yeah, pretty well every weekend.
And one thing we've been doing this summer is celebrating the 50th anniversary of Riverside International Speedway. We've been getting stories from other drivers about their beginnings in racing. And one question I'd like to ask is, how you got your start in racing? What sparked your interest in racing? You're from the South Shore in Nova Scotia. Was there a big racing scene around here?
Well, I used to live in the States, Clinton, Massachusetts, and some guys over there used to live around. I used to go to the races with them and always liked racing, and that's how it started. currently.
What kind of racing? Was it drag racing, oval racing?
One of my friends drag raced, and one had an oval car. Used to go with him, and my dad used to go, too. My dad liked racing, too, so that's how it started.
So when did you hop in the race car and first race?
Probably in the 60s, early 60s.
Okay, and was the drag racing down in the Northeast, or was it up here in Canada?
I was drag racing and went to drag racing in Maitland, out by Truro. And then we used to drag race there, and then I used to live in Liverpool and started stock car racing on the dirt.
What was it, the jalopy racing, hand-built cars?
Yeah. I used to build a car, and matter of fact, I sold a couple cars in Truckmas, and Lenny Curry bought a car off of me, and it was all dirt racing then.
And dirt, I assume?
Yeah, dirt. And then they built a track in Halifax and started asphalt racing.
And that was your first one? That would have been Halifax Dartmouth International?
Yeah.
So what was the transition like for you going from a dirt track to asphalt?
It was a lot nicer, really.
Not a big fan of the dirt?
No, I don't. I didn't really like it. They got a dirt track out there. They run every Friday night. I went once. That was enough for me. I like asphalt racing.
So what tracks did you experience in the early 60s besides Halifax Dartmouth?
They have another racetrack out in Brayton, out there by, I don't even remember the name of it, but out there, it's international. That was the last. They built that after. And it was another one out in Sackville we started racing at.
When did you hear about the grumblings of the beginnings of Riverside International Speedway? A lot of drivers said they heard about John Chisholm getting the idea about building Riverside, meeting with Bill France. When did you hear about it, Junior?
Well, I used to work for Chisholm. I had dump trucks in Halifax, and I used to do a lot of work for them guys, and then when John started racing, I sort of helped him a little, and he bought a car from Holman and Moody, and we went to the first race in Antigonish, and it got rained out, and the track was brand new then, and nobody was ever on it, and it got rained out, and then we run the next weekend. It was beautiful. It was like going to Daytona compared to the racetrack down there.
Would have been your first time on a high-banked oval?
Yeah.
What was that like as a young driver?
It was nice. That track was nice then, and it's still nice, you know. Yeah, it was a copy. Me and John was pretty good friends, and when I first come to Ontario, I built a car for John, and we come up here and raced, and I stayed up on the weekends and worked on the car, and he flew up on the weekends and drove it. That's how come I come to Ontario. Next year, I come up here.
I just want to pedal back for a second. You were chatting about the Holman Moody car. I've heard a story about you meeting Bobby Allison. He was your hero. You sent a letter off to Hueytown, Alabama. Is that also where the connection came for John to get that car?
Yeah. Well, he bought a Holman and Moody car first, and he raced it some down around there, and then he wanted to go to Daytona and race on that. They had a road course at the Daytona, and he took the car back to Holman and Moody's and had it all changed over for the road course. And anyway, he went down there, and he tried to get a license, and he couldn't get a license because he couldn't see. He had really thick glasses at that time, and they wouldn't give him a license. So we talked to Bobby Allison. Bobby Allison drove the car and won the race.
Wow.
So Bobby said to John, I ain't giving you that car back. So he traded John Chevelle. So John got a brand-new Chevelle out of the deal, and then he raced it a while, and I ended up building them a car after that, and we were friends for a long time.
That's quite the trade-off there for a Bobby Allison car. He wins it, and then you get a brand new one.
Yeah.
Did you ever get the race against Bobby Allison?
Yeah, quite a few times. We were really good friends.
Down in the States, I assume?
I went down there one time and spent a couple of weeks and bought a bunch of. They were building some short track cars at that time. And went down there, spent a couple of weeks, and got some parts, and I went home and built a car. So we were friends for a long time.
So getting back to Riverside, do you remember those first few races? You mentioned you were there opening day, rain out. Was it an immediate success for you, or was it really a big adjustment as a driver?
I think that Bobby Allen won the race, the first race there, and Bobby Allen, he used to race down there. He was a really good racer. If you were hard to beat that guy, he was He was good. And then it was another guy named Danny from Manic. He was from New Glasgow. He was a good racer, too.
Frank Fraser said that Bobby Allen was the best driver ever at Riverside.
Yeah, probably was. He won a lot of races there.
And one of your biggest rivals in that era would have been Terry Clattenburg. And I've seen an interview you mentioned, but when you were driving for Bob McDonald Chevy, he was driving for Forbes, there was a little bit of bashing heads on the track, on and off?
Yeah, we never got along real good. He was really the reason why I come to Ontario, because every time of race, we got in trouble.
A little bit of wrecking, maybe, or maybe fisticuffs?
Yeah, man, I don't think we really got down to pounding on each other, but it was rough for a while. And then he lost that ride, and Jimmy Callahan come from Ontario down the drive for Forbes.
Yeah, Jim mentioned that you pretty much both swapped. You went up to Ontario. So was that the main reason for Terry, or was it a case of I've won pretty much everything here? You won a championship at Halifax Dartmouth. Was it just a case of I've done pretty much everything, time to go to greener pastures?
No, I really like racing, and down there, a lot of the racetracks. One racetrack, what would happen? We had the Sackville racetrack, and then they built the one out in where they have the amusement park now,
mm-hmm.
out on Hammonds Plains Road. So everybody built the racetrack and closed the other guy up. So that guy sort of closed the guy up out on Sackville, and Ben Chisholm built his racetrack, and everybody wanted to go race for Chisholm's track because it was nice.
So it was almost like a war with tracks.
Yeah. When he built that racetrack, it was like you're going to Daytona, it was like you were going to go to Bristol or somewhere.
And that would have been the nicest track you'd driven on at that point.
Oh yeah.
I've heard as well that Your friend and rival, Don Biederman, also kind of maybe encouraged you to make the move to Ontario because he's an Ontarian. He dominated Riverside in the early 70s and even in the late 70s. Was that almost an encouragement, too, to go up there?
Yeah. When I first come up here, we used to have a shop together. And we used to go, when I come up with Chisholm that time, we left the car up here and I stayed, and I used to work on it during the week, and then John would come up on the weekends and drive it. And during the week, I'd go racing with Biederman down in the States and come back for the weekend. So that's about how it started. You know, back then you built everything yourself. You built the motor, you built the car, the whole deal.
There was no going to a team or someone like yourself down the line saying, "Hey, I need a race car. Can you give me one? Can you build me one?"
No, that probably took in the 70s, guys started buying cars from builders. But back then, you built everything.
Did you start building your own stuff right from the get-go?
Well, the first car I got from Bobby Allen. Bobby Allen come up to Sackville, and he was racing. And after the race, he and my buddy went, Clyde Hemian was his name, and ended up buying the car. And I raced that car once, I think, and then I caught it up and built a new one.
And that's what started it, and then eventually you had your own car building business, too. That's what got the fire lit, right?
Yeah.
Did you race in the Maritimes much when you were in Ontario? I know you came to Riverside and other tracks a few times as well, but was it just mostly Ontario and maybe the Midwest of the States?
Yeah, we come up here and we used to race around here, over to Michigan and Ohio stuff and race. And at the end, we was going to Florida and, Phoenix, Arizona, and a bunch of places.
Did you come back to participate in the first 250 race at Riverside?
I can't remember that. I can't really remember that. So the 250, that would have been about it. I was down with the ATC a couple times. The last time we were there, that's when we won all the money. They had a bonus deal. If you won at three different racetracks, you got a $50,000 bonus. And the last one that we had, we won down there.
Would have been the early 90s?
Yeah, it would have been in the 90s.
Because you won back-to-back 250s in 91 and 92 with the ACT. What did that mean to you to win at Riverside in that tour?
Well, it was really $50,000. It paid a paid a bonus of $50,000.
That was the motivation.
Yeah.
And you're one of the only drivers to win consecutive 250s. Like, you're on a short list. Not many people have done that. The car building also really exploded for you in the 70s and 80s as well, and that was your full-time job, and you've built cars for Bill Elliott, Alan Kowicki, the list goes on. When did that really come to full-time work for you?
Usually about 78, I guess it was. I opened up a shop, and I used to build a few cars in the winter, and then I'd race them for a while and sell them, and then I had a couple more I'd build, and then it started selling more cars, so we didn't really race a lot, and then was building cars.
And you were almost like a rare breed, making big profit with doing that, and then the racing. Was that hard to do in the 80s and 70s?
Yeah, it was, there was a lot of guys building cars, I got involved with Bobby Allison, and I got involved with Ed Howe, and, I used to go to Howe's and build cars for him, and when I had no money to get money, I used to go over there and build cars to get enough money to build my own cars.
Was it tough to do that in Canada?
Yeah, it was tough, but after I started building a few cars, and Howe had a lot of good customers that, they wanted to buy a car, but they wanted me to build them. So I sort of used to go there and build them, So it started that way.
And you've driven and you've built about every kind of car. What was your favorite type of car to drive? Was it the modified or the ACT style, pro stock? What was your favorite, Junior?
The modifieds were the most fun.
What was the most fun to build?
The outlaw cars were the most fun, like the ones with the wings and stuff on them.
Whether it was on dirt or asphalt?
That was asphalt.
Okay, for asphalt, right. When did you kind of transition of getting out of the car building? Was it recently, or was it maybe the early 2000s?
It was about 2000. I sold the business and started racing.
When did the racing career wind down?
When I was 60, 15 years ago.
When would have been the last time you raced at Riverside?
It would have been the ATC race.
In the early 90s?
Yeah.
Have you made it to the track post renovation when John bought it back?
No, I never did. But John sent me pictures and stuff of it. And when I was in Indiana, I sold his kid a couple cars, and so I never got to go down there.
What did it mean to you, or to even to hear that John got the track back?
Well, I knew if he got it back, he would have made it. Got it going again.
And I've heard that you've said that Riverside is your favorite track. Is that true?
Yeah, it is. It's almost a copy. It's a little small in Bristol, and it's nice to drive that.
And that's your forte, the high-banked ovals.
Yeah.
With all the greats, all the drivers you raced against, focusing here in the Maritimes, who is your toughest competitor racing?
It would have been Bobby Allen.
Bobby Allen. What was it like driving against him? Maybe going into a corner?
He would, like a lot of guys driving him. You drive in the corner 100 miles an hour, somebody else drives in 110 underneath you and bangs you out of the way, and Bobby Allen would do that. You could run side by side with him or whatever. He wouldn't wreck you.
Clean racer.
Yeah.
How about some memories of John Chisholm on and off the track?
He used to fly up to Mike, but when I was building the car, I was living up in Liverpool, and I was building the car. I had a little shop in the backyard, and he used to fly up there and land in the helicopter in the yard. So, I went down south with John, come up here with John. John was a good guy.
And over the years of your early racing at Riverside up to your ACT wins, what's your favorite memory at Riverside?
That last win, I think, was a lot of money at that time.
The 50 grand.
Yeah.
How far would that have taken you for your team, $50,000 in 1991 and 1992?
It would have got you ready for the next year, Curly had a really good deal going. He paid really good money, and he had when I started racing for Curly, he was sponsored by Budweiser and GM. And I was going to get sponsored by GM to do the series, and Ford come along and offered me a really good deal, and then Molson Brewery come along and they sponsored me. So it was Ford, Molson's, and Quaker State, and the series was sponsored by Budweiser and Chevrolet. So it was a big deal. And then Budweiser put up a deal that they picked three different racetracks every year. And if you won those three racetracks, you got a $50,000 bonus. And I won it 3 years in a row.
The years you won the championship as well in ACT.
Yeah, I won the championship and the bonus. You know, back then it was big money.
Would you say that's your biggest accomplishment, winning the ACT Pro Stock Championship 3 years in a row?
Yeah, and the bonus money, Budweiser money.
You were right in it for the money.
Yeah, well, you try to.
Well, for sure, to make a profit.
Yeah.
One last thing I want to bring up. I know you had a great relationship with Scott Fraser. Scott dominated Riverside, arguably his greatest track was Riverside. And he went up to Ontario with you to help build cars as well.
Yeah, he started racing down east. He and his dad is really good friends, and Scott. And he was racing down east, but he didn't have a really good car. And he come up, and I built him a brand new car. He went down there. I think he won every race but two that year. And after that, he used to come up every year and help me for a month or so. And then he'd build a car and take it home. He was a nice kid.
And you raced for him a little bit too here in the Maritimes as well, right?
Yeah, I only ever raced with him a couple times.
He had the best raw talent of any race car driver really from around here.
Yeah, he was as good as Bobby Allen or anybody else.
Junior, I appreciate your time, taking the time to do this, and the fans love to hear from you. To take this opportunity, is there anything you want to say to the fans who've supported you and your company for the many, many years of racing?
I just thank them all, and I wish I didn't have to quit when I quit, but I did.
It's good to hear that everything's all well, and we hope to hear more from you in 2020, Junior.
Okay, I'll talk to you later. It was nice talking to you.
I cannot thank Junior Hanley enough for taking the time to chat about his illustrious career, and also a big thanks to Greg Seward for taking the time to reminisce about his racing career. But I want to thank you for coming out to the racing this year for the 50th anniversary of Riverside. Without you, without the great sponsors, and of course the great staff at Riverside, celebrating 50 years would not be possible. So, Throwback Thursday will continue on Riverside social media for the rest of the year on Facebook and Twitter. And of course, Victory Laps will have a few more episodes. And just some notes for 2020 that's going to creep up soon enough. IWK 250. Campers, if you want to renew your site for next year, renewal is going to start in January, so keep an eye out on your email inbox or keep an eye on the website for the start date. And also stay tuned on the website, riversidespeedway.ca, over the off-season for 2020 news. And if you're not subscribed to the newsletter, visit the website, sign up today. It's super easy. The checkered flag is waving on this episode. I'm Dylan Langill, and thank you again for listening to Victory Laps, part of the Throwback Thursday celebrations for Riverside International Speedway.